Hi there. It's me, Laura Wasser, the divorce attorney and the founder of It's Over Easy, the online divorce service. I've been practicing family law for over 20 years, and I've worked on thousands of divorces, shepherding people through what may be one of the most terrifying times in their lives. Along the way, I often have to remind people to lower their expectations. When dealing with matters of the heart, rules simply don't apply, because all's fair in love and war. Open your heart, fasten your seatbelts, and let's go. Hi, everyone. I'm Laura Wasser, and this is All's Fair.
I'm Johnny Rains, and we're happy you're joining us today.
So this podcast is our opportunity to explore relationships and to speak with you about the profound relationships in your lives.
From the ones we love to the ones who got away. All's fair in love and war.
As you know, Johnny, and as I explain in the show open, in addition to running the online divorce service It's Over Easy, I'm an attorney and the managing partner at the law firm of Wasser, Cooperman, and Mandels. And one of the things I enjoy about the practice of family law is the opportunity to learn so much about so many. Always been a bit of a dilettante. And because of the nature of the attorney-client relationship, we are given a window into the psyche and the soul of our clients, which is way more intimate and informative than you would immediately imagine.
Truth is often more fascinating than fiction, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Which brings us to the news stories you shared with me this weekend. First, there's what's happening in China. As of January 1st, 2021, prospective divorcees will be required to wait for 30 days after filing for divorce to proceed with the dissolution of their marriages. What do you think about that?
I think it's so interesting because remember when COVID started and China had been ahead of us and everybody was reporting about the big spike in Chinese divorces, and everybody that
Right.
was interviewing me and when I was speaking was saying, do you think that the quarantine and safer at home is going to make there be a spike in divorces in the United States? And I have mixed feelings about that because I think in some instances, people will probably get stronger and work through things in their relationship. But I did say China must have a totally different way of being able to file for divorce because so many people rushing in at the same time
Right.
sounds a bit off. So that is why I think that they are making this waiting period a cooling off period like we have in California. You can file in California, but you have to wait 6 months to actually be divorced. So I think they're doing it to cut down on what the glut must have been in China, but also because
Yes.
so many of those people I've read went back and got married after a couple months.
So crazy.
Yes.
It's so crazy. Somebody wrote on a message board regarding the article, this regulation actually adds obstacles to divorce. It enables the party who does not want to divorce, usually men, to have more time to harass the other party. It's not helpful in protecting women's rights, this user wrote. So I wonder about that side of it, because I do think that if you're in a relationship, particularly a marriage, and you've come out of quarantine, and as we've discussed before, if there's a propensity of domestic violence, for example, you should be able to get divorced. And apparently this 30-day cooling period in China does not stop dissolution if there is domestic violence.
But I will say that, one, if there is domestic violence, you can file sooner. That was in the article. The other thing is this.
Yes.
Being divorced or not is not a factor as to whether you can get the shit beat out of you. I mean, again, one is more of an administrative issue. If you can go in, file for divorce, whatever, you may have to leave the home, move out, separate. That's a different question than whether or not you can be divorced. And I know that in different countries and different cultures, it's not as easy as it is here in America to find somewhere else to be or to get safe. I am just saying, being able to rush in and get divorced on day one as opposed to a 30-day waiting period for the administration or whatever magistrate is getting it done, those are two very different things.
Got it. Well, moving on to another part of the world, divorces are up 30% in Saudi Arabia as women find out husbands married others in secret.
Interesting. So this is from Gulf News, and Samir Salama writes that law offices in Abu Dhabi recorded an increase in requests for divorce, Kula, an annulment of marriage of about 30% during the coronavirus crisis. Among them is a doctor who discovered her husband was secretly married to another. I hate it when that
Surprise.
Happens.
Surprise, right? Oh my goodness. Other places with cooling off periods include England and Wales, where there is a mandatory cooling off period of 6 weeks, and in France it is 15 days. Here in California it's 6 months, and in New York for an uncontested divorce, the marriage must be over for at least 6 months, and all economic issues, including debt, how the marital property will be divided, and custody and support of the children have been settled.
I think it might be more than 6 weeks in England and Wales. I think it might be 6 months if it's a no-fault divorce. That's why people try to prove fault. I just read an article this morning saying that the UK wanted to do it more like they do it in France, because you don't have to wait so long and you don't have to construct issues to have it be fault. You can just actually get divorced. But I could be wrong. Call in, write in, and let us know.
Yeah, my information comes straight from China, so yeah. You know how reliable they are.
Ouch. No matter where you are and whether you hired a lawyer or you're keeping the power in your own hands by using an online service like It's Over Easy to navigate your divorce, the rarity is the sudden epiphany or single turning point showing you with dramatic clarity that your marriage is over, although that does happen. Most relationships hover on a precipice for years before one party or the other finally decides it's time to jump. And coming to the decision is not easy. It takes courage. For many, their next chapter, life after divorce, is more fulfilling than they could have ever imagined. But getting there is scary. Joining us today is one such person. The end of her marriage, she says, opened the door for her to become one of Billboard magazine's top performing jazz recording artists. Her critically acclaimed album, Find Your Wings, debuted at number one on the iTunes jazz charts, top 25 in all of Billboard jazz, and top 13 in Billboard traditional jazz.
When you feel like you don't fit, you're not understood one bit, find your wings. You can rise above the fray, sing what you can't seem to say, find your wings. When opposing worlds collide, imagine you're the queen of tides, move that moon back into place, if only for your own heart's sake.
I am, first of all, a mom. I am a jazz singer, a music producer, author, and speaker. When I was about 10 years old, my family and I escaped Poland, and we went to Sweden, where we lived for about a year. Couldn't stay there. Ended up applying to the Canadian Embassy in Stockholm, and grew up pretty much in Canada after that. Went to school and law school, and when I met my ex-husband 17 years ago, moved to California.
Heart say.
She's a multi-talented performer making waves in the jazz industry, and she's here with us today. Welcome to All's Fair, Anna Danes. Hi! Nice to meet you. I'm Laura.
Nice to meet you. Hi, Laura.
So, Anna, welcome to All's Fair. So tell us, I mean, I don't know that we've ever had anybody on the show that was born on the 4th of July in a communist country. So you're from Poland. Tell us what's going on. I know that you moved to Sweden first, and you basically lived in Canada for a big part of your life, but your parents are Polish, so they must have had great stories about what was going on before they decided to leave, yes?
Not unlike the stories you're seeing on the streets this week.
Yeah.
So it was basically martial law before we left. And, you know, I'm 100% Polish myself, so I remember a lot of that stuff. I was 10 years old when we left, and we basically escaped all that. Took the ferry to Sweden on a tourist visa and never came back.
Wow. Yeah. That is like so brave. And when you either were 10, but then talking back about it, what was the one thing that finally like broke the straw that broke the camel's back for your parents when they decided to go?
They basically had had enough of being in this kind of stuck situation where they couldn't travel, they couldn't advance their lives and their careers. Life was restricted. There was no food on the store shelves. It was dismal. There was no hope, basically.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so then you were in Sweden, then in Canada. When did you come to the United States?
I came to the United States when I was 29 years old, so about 20 years ago.
Okay.
When I met my now ex-husband.
Yes. So interesting, because we talk so often about next chapters, the bravery to kind of make a break and move. Your parents did that with Poland. You did that with your ex. I read somewhere that you regularly sing the national anthem to crowds of like 45,000 people. How is that for you to be up there singing the song and having really all about freedom, which is something that you really know quite a bit about these days, yes?
Yes, indeed. And becoming an American citizen was extremely meaningful for me, more so than when I became a Canadian citizen. This is really the land of opportunity. I always look at it like that as an immigrant. And singing the anthem oftentimes brings me to tears. It really does. When you like look at the lyrics and what it the meaning behind them, I can really relate. So it's a very powerful song, and it's a beautiful story, too.
What got you into jazz? What got you into singing this style of music?
Well, again, growing up behind the Iron Curtain, we got a little glimpse of Hollywood via movies. And so growing up, I do remember that wonderful world of LA and Hollywood and those types of movies, the musicals, the Sinatras, the Marilyn Monroes. That became part of my consciousness, I suppose. And when I ended up in Southern California, it was almost surreal that I was, you know, just minutes away from that world. But jazz spoke to me from a young age, too, because it was the music of that era, of the Sinatra era. And when I was in my 20s, I had a retail shop job, and the owner of the shop kept playing jazz all over, all day long. The same five albums, I might add. And at first I was like, oh man, I don't know if I can stand this. And then it got under my skin and I had to go home and order the same albums. So
I love it. So when did you discover, you had an amazing singing voice?
I didn't know I could sing till about 8 years ago. I mean, I hummed here and there, but I really didn't know. It was that pivotal moment in my life where my daughter wanted to take music lessons, but she refused to sing at her third one. And I stood up because I didn't want to waste the $60.
You don't want to waste the money.
I didn't want to waste the money. I'm a practical mom.
Such a mom. I'm the same way. Eat it. Just eat it.
Get up. Do it. But she wouldn't, and I couldn't make her. So I said, okay, I'll try it. And the teacher asked me, what would you like to sing? The only song I could remember was Summertime. And it all came out of me. Because at the time, wow, everything back at home was breaking down. You know, he was running around cheating. And all of a sudden, I'm singing a beautiful song, and it feels so good. And I felt at home, and I felt safe.
That's amazing. So, okay, wait. You meet him. You come to California.
Yeah.
When did you get cancer? During marriage, post-marriage?
Post-marriage, both times.
Oh, my God, yeah. You've been through a lot. Okay, so you've had cancer twice.
Yeah, the same cancer, same breast. Yeah.
Are you in remission currently?
Yes.
Okay, good. And how old is your daughter now?
She's 15.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about the decision to leave your husband, because I think a lot of our listeners like hearing about the journey that people we interview have gone through.
The decision to leave my husband, wow. Well,
I mean, you said he was cheating, so that doesn't help.
Yeah, it was a lot more than that, as it oftentimes is. You know, it was layers of stuff that happened between us over, I guess, 13 years. At first, I let a lot of things go because, as women, we're peacekeepers and we want to have peace in the family and everything's okay. I can deal with it until you can't deal with it. And what it was for me is he was very domineering and emotionally and verbally abusive. And I could only take it for so long. And unfortunately, it got worse before it got better because he got more and more successful in his business. And that kind of built up his arrogance further towards me, whereas I was the one who stayed home and took care of the home front, took care of everything so that when he came home, the house was clean, dinner was cooked, daughter was fed. It was that kind of a scenario. But I also took care of a lot of other things like the back end of our business and helped him in any way I could, but it wasn't somehow enough. The more I did, the more he became mean to me and called me useless and meaningless and told me how he could hire people to be my daughter's mom. People from Tijuana, like, why do I even need you? It went to that level.
What nationality is your ex?
Mexican.
Mexican, okay. Yeah. Well, at least maybe he knew some people in Tijuana that could help. I'm just saying, you know.
Well, he had cousins.
There you go. Yeah,
but no, there's only one you, though, Anna. Only yes. one you.
Yes. Yeah. So while this is happening and we're building this beautiful dream house, he becomes meaner to me. He has a mistress, his assistant. And I'm sitting back and going, wow. And meanwhile, I'm taking these music lessons and feeling better about myself every day.
That's great.
So the expression was what liberated me. And one day my mentor, music mentor, asked me, well, what would you like to do with all this singing? I said, I don't know, but it feels really good. Why don't you record an album? He said to me, I'm like, what? Like, real music stars record albums, not normal people. But that is what built up my confidence, that first album. And when the album was recorded and I had a little black box with all the songs, I was standing tall and proud. I had a battalion of lawyers.
You need that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
What was the first album?
It's called Longing. So I picked the title for a reason. I was longing for love.
Amazing. And how old were you when that came out?
43, 44.
Okay. And how many albums since that?
Two. I'm working on a third one right now, and I have some singles also.
Very, very exciting. Tell us how the relationship with your ex is now, Anna. I know you're still co-parenting.
Still co-parenting. Our co-parenting is basically down to text messages around our daughter. Mm-hmm. I don't speak to him because I choose not to. I think it's beneath me. He's not a very kind person. So I was able to rein in the relationship and put it on my terms. It's basically for the benefit of our daughter.
And does she live mostly with you, or is it?
Yes.
Okay. So she lives with you, and I know she wasn't interested in the singing lessons when she was seven, but how is music integrated into your relationship with her now, if at all?
Oh, it is very much so. She's always been musical, but she doesn't want to be in the spotlight, unlike mom.
Yeah.
But she's been listening to all kinds of music growing up, and I didn't think she was absorbing any of the stuff I was singing. But I nowadays walk into her bedroom at night and there's jazz playing.
Interesting. Interesting.
Or she's watching La La Land over and over again.
I love it. So, and are you in a relationship now, if you don't mind me asking?
I am.
And is it with somebody who is musically inclined, or does he just love listening to you?
He is not musically inclined. He's actually a former CNN journalist. He has a nice big perspective on the world. And it's lovely to be with someone so open-minded and supportive and worldly and traveled. And he loves me unconditionally, which is also so, so new to me.
Fantastic. So see, guys, you got to sometimes take a scary leap to get out there, whether it's leaving the country that you're living in or leaving the marriage that you're living in. You're listening to All's Fair with Laura Wasser. I'm Laura, and Johnny's here with me today. And we're with Anna Danes. We're speaking about next chapters, turning bad luck into good and making music with our very multi-talented jazz recording artist guest. Anna, with all that's gone on in the world this summer, do you think music can save us?
Oh my gosh, yes. Absolutely. Music is essential right now because, first of all, it's a universal language. You don't even need to understand the lyrics of a song to understand the emotions behind it. Second of all, it's inspirational and motivational and can give you ideas and feelings that you may have forgotten about. It can remind you that life is beautiful, that there is hope behind the gloom. And it also can be the break we need sometimes just to take our minds off what is going on around us. Just like a good movie can, a good song will do that as well.
Have you been listening to any of these kind of online concerts or things that folks are doing? Because we can't gather right now during these COVID days. My hope is that by the time this airs, we'll be getting out a little bit more. But I still see concerts, jazz clubs, maybe not quite so so immediate in our future. Have you been participating in any of the kind of online music offerings that have been going on?
I've been participating. I've been listening and watching. I've not had a concert myself, but maybe down the road. I kind of wanted to go silent for a while and take everything in, and maybe taking the information in will allow me to write some new songs.
Because absolutely.
It's been tough watching everything. It's been really tough. You almost do feel silenced.
We listened to a clip from Find Your Wings. Can you tell us a little bit about it? Please tell us about the inspiration for it and how you feel now that it's out there in the world being listened to by so many people.
Yes, Find Your Wings was written by Cindy Alexander and myself, and it's a wonderful song about believing in yourself, and something that I wrote with my daughter in mind, seeing her walk down the aisle or just before, telling her, believe in yourself no matter what. You know, slay the dragon of self-doubt and find your wings.
Slay the dragon of self-doubt. I love that. Okay, so Anna, we have something that we do in law. They're called interrogatories. It's the way that people answer questions pre-trial. Will you play with us?
Absolutely.
Do you swear to tell the truth? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, Anna, which relationship in your life has had the most profound impact?
Wow. Well, my daughter's changed me tremendously. She's my reason. Second relationship would be with my best friend, who is turning 78 this week. She's full of wisdom and love and goodness and unconditional support.
Happy birthday to her.
Yes, exactly. Happy birthday, Karen. And the third one would be the current romantic relationship I am in, because I never thought that existed.
What's his name? Let's give him a shout out. Just as
Brad.
First. Hi, Brad. So Brad,
hey Brad,
Karen, my Gemini sister, happy birthday. All right. So this is a good one for a musician. What is your favorite love song?
I love the love songs that are kind of sappy and sad, where you get to squeeze out all the emotions in those lyrics. And I love performing them too, because you can really get in there. So I love songs like In the Wee Small Hours of the Morning, Someone to Watch Over Me, Stardust. They're basically poetry.
Give us a few lines. Maybe from
In
seven.
In the wee small hours of the morning, while the whole wide world is fast asleep, you lie awake and think about that boy, and never ever think of counting sheep.
I love it.
Oh my God, that was great.
Did you see the movie Judy, where Renee Zellweger played Judy Garland? Oh, how amazing
Loved
was that?
It.
Yeah, so good.
Amazing talent, both of them amazing talents.
Yes. Okay, what's the one piece of advice you'd share with your 20-something-year-old self, Anna?
Oh my gosh. Well, I was very quiet and timid when I was 20. So I would tell my 20-year-old something like, you do have the right to your opinions. You do have the right to voice them. Don't let anyone put out the fire inside you. And don't be so glum and serious. Life is for living. I wore a lot of black and smoked a lot of cigarettes.
Came out of
then.
A communist country. You needed a little bit of time to find your wings.
Exactly. I still wear black, though.
Nothing wrong with black. Black's okay. Which romantic
is beautiful,
black
as we say.
Beautiful.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes. Which romantic comedy could you watch on repeat, Anna?
When Harry Met Sally, Sleepless in Seattle, Something About Mary.
Something about Mary. Yes. We don't get Something About Mary very often, but that is a very good one. I love that movie.
I love that movie.
Have you watched it with your daughter yet?
No.
Okay. It holds up. I just watched it with my sons. They were a little confused at certain parts, but for the most part, it definitely holds up. Yes.
Okay, cool.
Like her hair. Her hair holds up.
Oh my gosh. I was just thinking of that.
The part where they were like, what's happening here? Anna, thank you so much for sharing your sweet voice with us today and your wonderful outlook on next chapters and your life. Please tell people where they can download your music and where they can find you online.
They can download my music on iTunes. They can also hear it on Spotify, Pandora, and annadanes.com.
Two N's, A-N-N-A, Danes, D-A-N-E-S. And Anna Danes Music is your Instagram, yes?
Yes.
You are wonderful. Thank you so much. Be safe.
Thank you.
And we will
Thank
be listening.
My pleasure.
Thank Bye, you, Anna. Laura. Thank yes. you, Johnny.
She's awesome. I love that. I love that story. You guys, if anybody who's feeling isolated or down or like this is never going to end, listen to that. I mean, she really, really overcame probably more serious shit than any of us have had to. And look how happy she is. And listen to her beautiful voice. So take that as something and put that in your pipe and smoke it, Johnny.
Well, I don't know what else to say, but, you know, where's the past the lighter?
No one jumps into divorce, but clinging to an old idea of how relationships are unraveled can make bad things even worse. And to echo what we spoke about at the top of the show, generally, there's no lightning bolts or magical signs that tell you when it's time to get divorced. When the bad starts outweighing the good on a consistent basis, you may feel that taking the next step is appropriate. It's a very personal decision and most likely should be arrived upon with the help of some kind of counseling or support.
That's our show for today, but if you've subscribed, scroll on through our feed to see what else we're talking about. And if you haven't, please do. Click to rate us at Apple Podcasts and write us a quick review so we know what you want to hear next.
Follow us on Instagram at It's Over Easy and join our conversation on Facebook at It's Over Easy Community. Thanks for listening.